With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy soccer slash football podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always joining me is my trusty co-host, Rob Langevin. How's it going, Rob?
Good, Kevin. Thanks for the introduction. And, you know, it's great to be here talking footy. And we're joined by a very special guest. You know, he has more alternative names than anybody I can think of. You know, he goes by the AK likes of Barry Manager, and that's the one and only Chief from FPL Hints. Chief, how's it going?
Hey guys, it's going really well, thank you. My first podcast of the season, rearing to go, and expecting another bedraggled and beaten season.
Yeah, Rob already alluded to the name change. I can think of Idrissa slash Ghana slash Gaye, or however many names he wants. I think that's a near second. But you talked about the manager change or the name change before we started recording. You want to tell the listeners a little bit about the mindset behind that brand shift?
Yeah, I think I was just experimenting over the summer, and I wanted something was, you know, like Joe Bloggs, you know, like a placeholder name. I just wanted something different. But such was the shock that I had changed my name that the followers rebelled and they didn't want any of it. So I had to switch back to the Chief in a matter of days. So alas, that rebranding was a fail, but I still changed my avatar.
Fair enough. Follower coup, probably not what you were angling for. Another disappointment of sorts was Newcastle last season. Our condolences. A couple of players worth talking about, though, have stayed in the Premier League in Andros Townsend and Jorginho Wijnaldum. What do you think of their moves and their value this season?
I think from a Newcastle perspective, we've got good cash for them, so we're going to miss them, but it's not the be all or end all for us with the replacements that we have. In terms of Wijnaldum, first of all, as a player at Liverpool, it's going to be quite interesting. They've got a lot of attack minded midfielders who are packing that midfield right now, so I'm not sure where he's going to fit in, and you know he might play a lot deeper than he has been. In the past year, as an FPL prospect, I'd avoid him, to be honest with you, just due to the sheer number of attacking midfielders that Liverpool have. As for Townsend, I actually have him in my draft team. I think he's good value for money at 6.5 million. He's got that proven FPL Premier League pedigree, as he showed with Newcastle. Give him a consistent run of games and he'll give you good returns. He's someone who is the ideal fourth midfielder in any draft team right now, and it just makes sense. You know, Crystal Palace's upcoming run of games aren't too bad, so he's worth consideration. Him in particular, more so than Gigi.
Yeah, we've talked about Wijnaldum a fair bit here. I think we all agree that it's a big question mark, and that he'll probably end up playing deeper, closer to where he played for PSV. Rob, you have anything you want to bring up, even though we're only 3 minutes into the show?
No, I mean, I'm in complete agreement with Chief. You know, Liverpool's forward-minded midfielders, he's kind of offset there. He's kind of have to find his niche and be almost like a defensive, offensive midfielder for them. And his price tag at 8.0 is just not conducive for any kind of ownership right now, especially with the wary feeling of where he's going to play and how often he's going to play. I know Liverpool, we've talked ad nauseum about how they don't have extra games this year, but still, I think there's going to be a wicked rotation there. And onto Townsend. I love Townsend this year. His price point at 6.5 is exactly perfect for what Chief said. He's a perfect fourth midfielder, someone that you can shuffle in and out based on matchup, or, you know, if you want to be different a little bit, you know, his ownership is conducive for someone that you could probably strike gold with early because it's only being owned at 6.5%, which matches his price right now. So that's a fantastic bargain. But yeah, Chief hit it right on the head with both guys.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. We talked about doing this before, and I guess we may as well just hop into it, which is three players that you think are overvalued and three that you think are undervalued. We'll give Chief a rest here for a minute and stick with Rob.
My three overpriced are mostly midfielders. You know, I think that's where a lot of the people are going to make their biggest assumptions based on ownership and price and form and upcoming fixtures. My three guys are Anthony Martial at 9.5. I want to see how he fits into the new system there. And yeah, somebody at United is going to get the secondary goals, but is it going to be him? Is it going to be Mkhitaryan? Is it going to be, you know, Rooney in an offset strike mode? Nobody knows. So at 9.5, it's kind of a big question mark for him to, you know, even question it. At 9.5, you could basically own Mesut Ozil and not have to worry about Anthony Martial's results. My second guy, we're going back to Liverpool guys. I'll go with Sadio Mane at 9.0. Usage is going to be the big thing. I don't know where he fits in there. You know, they're talking him up like he's going to be, you know, the guy there on the wide. I want to see it. Mane has all-world talent. I just want to see it consistently for a top-flight team like Liverpool. My last guy is Nolito. His price and where he's going to fit again, it's basically price and fitting into a team. Look at the weapons that City has right now. They have KDB. They have Silva. They have Aguero. Where is he going to fit in there? I know he's probably going to be most likely like a super sub, but at his price right now, are you really going to buy into him at that price to be a super sub and give you some kind of fantasy output? I really don't see it. So those are my three overpriced guys. Chief, how about you?
Yeah, I concur with those choices, first of all. I mean, in particular, Martial, you know, granted he's now listed as a midfielder, but his price has really, you know, it's ridiculously inflated. And just looking at that Manchester United team, the attacking prowess they have, you know, there are a lot of players who will in effect cancel each other out. And one player, first of all, that comes to mind for me, who is in my team, who I believe is excessively overpriced, and that is, dare I say it, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I think he is at 11.5 million. He's, you know, he's in his mid-30s. I fully accept he knocked, you know, scored 50 goals last season. He's got a fantastic record for scoring goals in whichever league he's played. But generally, as a rule of thumb, those strikers that come from the French league and then come in the Premier League, they can't maintain that strike rate. And at 11.5 million, really, you know, yeah, he should be priced higher than Rooney. Don't get me wrong, absolutely. But I think he's maybe half a mil, 1 mil, or even 1.5 mil overpriced. But that hasn't stopped me from getting him in my team. And the unfortunate thing with Zlatan's price tag is that people can't afford him and Aguero. That's the biggest downfall of it. I've managed to fit both in, but that's the biggest, you know, negative takeaway from that he's pricing out other viable options. The second player that I feel is overly priced, it's another player that played in the French league, and it's Chelsea's new striker. Dare I pronounce his name? Batshuayi. Have I pronounced that right, guys?
Nailed it, probably.
Thank God for phonetics.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think sticking with Batman seems fully reasonable.
Well, you know, I or bat some blank crazy, but I won't say what the blank means.
I like it.
But in all seriousness, I think it is crazy at what he's priced at. I think I know it's cheaper than cost. Is it 9 million, guys? You can probably confirm that for me.
Yeah.
He's again first season in the Premier League. He didn't even have a 50% strike rate last season in the French league, and yet there he is, priced at that value, you know, and us full well knowing that they've got Costa as well. I feel that had he been a bit cheaper, his ownership would have been substantially higher than it is right now. And there's no doubt that he will get game time. He's not been purchased to be a reserve player unless Chelsea, for some weird reason, decide to get Romelu Lukaku again. But it's just, what's the point of them pricing him so highly, it just doesn't make any sense to me. So he's, unfortunately, he's one to avoid. The biggest irony, actually, out of all of this, if you look at all the Chelsea players' prices from last year, pretty much all of their players' prices have substantially dropped. Is that something that you guys have noticed as well? Like a good one mil, half a mil, a lot cheaper. And it makes sense because they didn't finish in a European spot, and that should reflect in the price of what they are. The other player that sticks to mind, who I believe is overpriced, and it just doesn't make sense to me, it's Thibaut Courtois. Now, why is he priced at 5.5 million, the same price as David De Gea, when he, I know he got a few red cards and didn't get game time due to injury and whatnot, but I just feel he's priced so high, so over the top compared to a goalkeeper like De Gea, who kept so many clean sheets. Yeah. And it begs the question, like from my perspective, when they do these prices, are they basing it on what the players did last year, or is it what they think, the value of their potential this year, or a bit of both? I'm not sure. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I think it's an excellent point. And Rob, as a Chelsea fan, will know Courtois was very disappointing the last couple months of the season. And even before that, was letting in some leaky goals, which I don't think many would expect. I do think you hit the nail on the head a bit there. I think name value is a part of it. That his name's Thibaut Courtois and he plays for Chelsea, so the price has to be a little bit higher, but the performances don't back up that number. And I think part of it might be quote-unquote market value, if you will, that people will still pay it so they can put it that high. Yeah. It's almost like real-world economics, that you want to make the price as high as you can with people still going in for it. And with Conte being their new manager, I think it's entirely possible. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's at least like 5% owned or some nonsense.
Yeah. And just coming on that point of, Conte and his reputation of being, a defensive disciplinarian, there's no doubt that Chelsea will keep, more clean sheets this season than they did last season. And without the European distraction, that they will challenge for the title as well. It's just a bit unfortunate how a lot of their players have reduced in price, and like you said, the market value might have been a factor as well. Another player, actually, and I know I'm sort of digressing because this is a fourth pick, why is it that Tim Cahill is valued at 6 million, yet John Terry is valued at 5.5 million, and they both played similar amount of game time in terms of minutes last season, yet why does Cahill get the extra half mil? Is it because he's younger, or Is there another reason there?
I do assume you mean Gary Cahill, because Tim Cahill would be awful as a center back. No worries.
I think he's still heading in goals for the Australian national team.
Despite being like 5 foot tall.
Oh, no. Sorry. I think I've got my off-season cap on. Yeah, Gary Cahill. Why is he valued half a mil more?
I don't know. I think Moyes will really get the best out of him for Everton.
Yeah. I think it's speculation that he's going to get more minutes than Terry. I think they're looking at what they're going to expect minute-wise from Terry and Cahill. And Cahill, to me, fits more into a Conte system than Terry does, only because he can move just a little bit faster or maybe anticipate little things better. But getting back on your Courtois thing, because I didn't jump in. If you add Courtois and Begovic's score last year, it was 124, both of them. They still would have finished outside the top eight combined for as goalies. Wow. They would have finished behind Adrian in the standings. So it would have been ninth overall. Mm. I think the 5.5 tag is, A, he plays for a top-flight team. Yes, the record in standings didn't show it, but Chelsea is still a big fantasy market team. Two, he's got a name that people know and trust or have trusted or buy into. So it's all about speculation of price when pricing at 5.5. So those are the main factors, I think, for Courtois being the same as De Gea. But I completely agree. He's not anybody I would even trust as a goalie. He looked awful at times last year. He looked lost. I don't know if he just lost confidence in his front defenders and couldn't overcome that. But yeah, any Chelsea goalie right now is bad news for fantasy.
I was right, by the way. It's at 9.5% owned, which is absolutely incredible. But yeah, that's I think that pretty much is evidence of what we've all pointed out in regards to Courtois. For me, players that are overpriced, first, Sadio Mane. at 9.0 is just not my cup of tea. To be fair to him up front, he scored 11 goals the last two seasons and has looked very good for Liverpool in their preseason thus far. But the negatives are minutes, as we've already mentioned on this show. They could be limited because you already have Coutinho, you have Firmino. It's likely that Wijnaldum gets pushed up back into more of a central midfield role, but he did play on the left a lot for Newcastle last season. I just am not confident in the minutes. He won't be able to cut in nearly as much as he did at Southampton. As I mentioned a lot of times, his crossing stats are not what people think it is. I don't know if people are just playing loads of Football Manager or FIFA or what, but his crossing is not actually that good. He'd much prefer to cut in. And when you have the likes of Coutinho and Firmino already in those spaces, you're just going to kind of get in all of each other's way. So I don't really like that too much. At 9.0, a little too expensive. And there are cheaper players who are not just cheaper and not just better values, but they're better options full stop. So I'm not a big fan of Mane this season. You already mentioned Batshuayi. I'll go with the other substitute striker, assuming that Costa stays, which he may well not. But for Tottenham, Vincent Janssen, who I do not think will get lots of minutes. As Robin, I've mentioned before, I think he's more of a super sub. And at 8.0, that is way too much. And even if Kane went down, I think there would be better one or two match options at much lower prices. And sticking on what you were talking about, Chelsea, I agree that most of the attacking Chelsea players have had reduced prices. But weirdly, the defenders haven't, with three of them still costing 6.0. And we saw last season, they ended the season as some of the highest priced defenders because nobody ever bought them in the first place for them to drop them, to drop the price. So we already talked about Conte a bit there, but I think it might be a little bit more like what Leicester did last season, where the first half might be sloppy and then things start to tighten up in the second half of the season. But at 6.0, I don't think any of them are really worth owning at all. Thoughts, concerns, questions, anger?
No, all good names by all. Good times were had by the round table.
All right, well, I'll roll into my... Yeah, Chief?
Just a quick point that, you know, I think it goes without saying, and maybe the powers that be at FPL HQ, they probably thought Chelsea will have a better run of things this season than they did last season, and they probably hedged their bets on, you know what, they will probably keep more clean sheets than they did, and that's probably why they overinflated them, but... At the same time, you know, cheapening their attacking players, that it just makes it a bit random. But anyway, There we go. That's FPL for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd agree there. Oh, and Rob, who was it we were texting about the other day about dropping their price?
So Chief, I was texting Kevin the other day that I have a huge conspiracy theory that everybody should do. With Aaron Cresswell laid up for, you know, the good part of 4 months, you know, since a lot of people don't use their fourth defender or fifth defender in the first couple weeks, I was saying everybody should jump on the ownership bandwagon for Aaron Cresswell the first 2 weeks and then just completely flood the market with drops so he drops precipitously from where he is now down to where in like, you know, 4 months, he's going to be below market value and then he'll buy, you could be a buyer at his price. So basically, you basically get everybody on board, you add a player, and then everybody dumps him, and then he goes down, you know, 0.2 points every week.
That sounds like my kind of conspiracy theory. Let's hope it pans out.
we need greater sway in the market, to be honest.
spread the word.
Exactly. Spread the word. Go on Twitter. Go on Reddit. Go on Google and just spread the word. But there is scope for players having their prices, you know, dramatically falling. And I guess you're saying that out of love for Aaron Cresswell, that, you know, when he's fully fit, he's going to be amazing for West Ham as he was last season. So it's that crazy that if you get people doing it, it just might work.
That's definitely going to be the plan. So we'll go back snake draft style with me continuing on into my underpriced guys. Andre Ayew at 5.5, especially if he's used as a striker, and even more especially if he's playing as a striker for West Ham, with all of their supporting players. I think 5-5 is a steal. He was pretty... Wait, that can't be right. No. As soon as I said that, I was like, no. That's definitely wrong. Apparently, wow. Just spaced. So anyway,
how was the pub this afternoon?
You know what? Leicester pulled back pretty well, and Ahmed Musa is a very interesting player, and he's really good for Cesca. And if he plays on the left wing, he'll have some value. But anyway, that's how my afternoon was.
The other wing they've bought, the Polish international.
Oh,
Putzka.
Yeah, that happened. Kaputska.
Kaputska.
So that's going to be quite interesting. You've got Musa, you've got Mahrez, and you've got him. How are you going to fit them all in the team?
I don't think they will. Well, for me, personally, I think that I still prefer Musa as an actual forward than as a winger. Mm-hmm. But if you play Musa with Vardy and Mahrez, that is just an insane counterattack with the amount of pace they have. I think Kaputska might not be there yet. That's just my opinion, though. But I don't think all four will get regular minutes this year. It does raise the question as to what formations are they going to use, because I was kind of high on Albrighton. But if they're going to be in more of a 4-3-3 with traditional wingers, that kind of takes his spot away. And we might see something like what happened to Schlupp in between 2 years ago and last year, where somebody that was highly touted as a fantasy option all of a sudden doesn't have a spot anymore. Which would be disappointing. Finishing my Andre Ayew point, he is still at 7.5. That is still valuable for me, though. He was pretty great last season. Still finishes a top 5 midfielder. And if the circumstances are right, those 12 goals could bump up to 15. But I'm not going to bet anybody on that, because all of my Gomez preseason love last year did not pan out, except for the first month where I looked like a genius, except for those other like 7 months where I looked like a complete idiot. But I really like Andre Ayew, especially if he ends up being a striker. Simon Francis at 4-5. I mentioned him on last week's show and in my preview article and in my rankings for Rob over there on Razzball. That statistically, he looks like he's on the verge of a fantasy breakout. Now, yes, before we get into this, I am aware that he's 31. So calling it a breakout is either unlikely or just foolish entirely. But he had more touches than any player not named Cesc Fabregas last season. And the returns of key players like Wilson and Gradel should help them by boosting their attack in a roundabout way, which should at least relieve some of the pressure off of the defense, because they just got pummeled a lot last season. Like, they'd have good matches, but still let in 2 goals, 3 goals. So hopefully that'll improve. There is a chance that he loses out to Tyrone Mings at some point, but his leg injury was so rough. I'm honestly not sure he's going to get back to form. And if he does, you only spent 4-5 on Francis anyway, so it's not really that big a deal. He's worth the upside for me. My last one, Eric Lamella at 7.0. Everybody's talking about the 8.5s at Tottenham with Eriksen and Ali, and we're probably going to do that later again. But Lamella at 7.0, I think, is an excellent choice. He's the only player in Tottenham starting 11 that physically cannot be rotated. There is not another right winger at the club. Son could deputize over there, but in the second team, he's also the left winger. So, you know what? I don't think he's going to play both places at once. And Son won't even be there the first 2 weeks, because he's going to be on Olympic duty with South Korea. So, Lamella at 7.0, I think, is very interesting. Bossed a lot of the creative statistics last season, despite having not as many minutes. But what did he have? 4 goals and 9 assists, I want to say off the top of my head. Really hope that's not wrong. But anyway, I like him at that value. Chief, who do you have that you think is a little bit underrated this year?
Yeah, just coming on to my picks, just quick word on Lamella. I'm not so sure about him. I mean, you know, I just feel with him, yeah, he's shown like glints of form here and there, but has he been consistent throughout the season since he came to the Premier League? And I don't think he has. But having said that, you know, he is cut price, and it remains to be seen what he can do. But I'm not so sure on him just yet. But there is a midfielder that has caught my eye in preseason, $6.5 million, plays for Everton. Who is it?
Jerry Delafay. Gerard. Yeah.
Delafay. Yeah. I think you know, one thing that has come to my attention is he's playing in a very advanced role in these friendly matches. I think Koeman may get the best out of him, and at his price, he could be a surprise. I know Everton's initial fixtures aren't spectacular, but I think he might do, well, he not might, but he will do a lot better than he's done in previous seasons if he's given a focal role, more so than a Ross Barkley. And that is definitely worth, you know, keeping an eye out on. He could be special this season. The second pick that comes to mind is someone who I have a fondness for, who I haven't got in my draft team just yet, and it's Bojan for Stoke. 6 million, but there's one difference from this season to last season. What is it?
He's not listed as a forward.
Yep.
Exactly. He's listed as a midfielder. And I know Stoke have, you know, they've got a vast array of talents in midfield, and they've got the new guy, Ramadan Sobhi, in their team as well. And Bojan is not guaranteed to start every match. He'll probably play, you know, 60 minutes and get subbed off. But if you want a fourth midfielder when Stoke have a good run of upcoming games, he is definitely one to keep an eye out on. 6 million, you know, it's just more of a potluck sort of pick, but he is a classy player, and it just depends on if he gets the relevant game time. But keep an eye on him.
If Berahino goes there, does that impact your thoughts on him at all?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, the problem I have with Stoke is that they've got too many players that can be rotated. That it's not like Leicester last season, where you've got an almost set 11 that you could name that team week in, week out. You can't really do that with Stoke. I think Berahino will definitely aim. He'll be their main striker, no doubt. You know, Crouch and Dufour will be second fiddle to him. But he might you know, affect Bojan's returns, or conversely, Bojan and him might link up fantastically. But I guess we'd have to wait and see. I wouldn't recommend Bojan just yet. Just have a look to see if he gets picked, and if he, you know, shows some form. That would be the main thing with Bojan. My third pick is another Evertonian who may not be an Evertonian in the near future. He's a defender, 5 million. Who is he?
John Stones.
Yes. John Stones, who is heavily linked with a move to Manchester City. If that move transpires, there's no doubt he'll be a first team defender. And there aren't that many first team defenders for a top four club who are 5 million, with a 5 million price tag. Definitely on my radar. In fact, he's in my team, and I'd recommend him, even if he doesn't move for whatever reason to Man City. I think Koeman will get the best out of him as well. And, you know, I just think that he might do a Southampton with Everton, make them defensively solid, and also get the attacking returns. But Stones at 5 million, you know, that is cut price.
Yeah, all good calls, Chief. You actually rated all my three unders with two of the guys. I'll start with my... I agree with Chief on Jerry Deulofeu at 6.5. He's basically, this is comparatively how I say it, and I think I've said this to Kevin a couple times, he's basically Dusan Tadic minus $1 million. Minus a dollar.
Yeah.
Including maybe some of the weird random drops that Tadic got under.
Absolutely. I mean, he
with a little of Gareth Barry in him.
Yeah, true. True. He does have a little temper. But brilliant wide player, brilliant cross of the ball. I think if Lukaku moves from Everton, I think it's a knock against Jerry D. But I still like him at where he is. You're not going to find probably another, you know, fourth or fifth midfielder in that price range to gamble on that has moderate to low ownership that you could probably strike gold with as like an assist machine, or, you know, give you an assist here or there. My second guy, I'm sticking with all midfielders, by the way. My second guy, I love what he's doing in the preseason. I actually like what the whole team is doing. The Cherries wide player, Jordan Ibe. He's at 5.5 right now. I like what he did last year. eBay, whatever. Is that how you pronounce it, eBay?
I've heard it both ways. Also, Nathan Ake /AK/Ake/.
Well, stand by, podcast listeners. I'm going to Americanize the crap out of this. It's Georgian Ibe or Ibe. 5.5. I like what he's doing in the preseason for Bournemouth. The Cherries have very, very athletic wingers, and Callum Wilson returning from injury. You know, I like what that team has on paper right now. And their schedule in the beginning of the year is kind of sketchy, but after that, it kind of flattens out after week six. So if you're not looking to invest right now, you know, everybody has a, you know, their draft team. You know, he's currently in mine only because I'm tinkering and I need, you know, money here, money there. But Jordan Ibe is the guy I'm looking at for my fifth midfielder. My last guy, and I'm in love with this guy in the preseason, Nathan Redmond at 6.0. You know, I hear everybody saying that he's only played, you know, 26 games in the Premier League and only played X amount of minutes. He was brought there to do one thing, and that is augment the attack. He's going to augment the attack. If you look at what he does, what he did in the time for Norwich, albeit limited because Norwich kind of played a wonky rotational system where they thought Wes Houlihan was the Irish Messi and all that good stuff. But Nathan Redmond coming to a Southampton team that has a little bit more offensive punch than a Norwich squad and surrounded by better talented players, I guarantee he's going to finish in the top 12 of midfielders. That is my random factoid of the day.
If you had to choose right now, you can't have one or the other. If I said to you, Redmond or Gerard Deulofeu, who would you pick?
Oh, he's taking Jerry D.
Gerard D. From-
He may as well be the official mascot of this podcast.
Yeah. I.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Chief, I don't know how many podcasts you listened to last year, but I probably said that man's name more than any name on the history of the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. You've said Gerard Deulofeu more than Trump has said wall.
But it's actually funny. Chief, it's actually funny that you said that and brought that up because I have a comparative thing set up for the midfielders. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two names at the same price point, starting at 5.5 and ending at 9.5. Just give me who you'd pick and maybe 5 seconds of why you would pick them.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, Kevin, this goes to you too. So we'll go to Chief first, and then Kevin, you can jump in too. All right, starting at 5.5, Jordan Ibe or Sofyan Feghouli?
I would say Feghouli because I believe he's had more consistent minutes in the previous season, although he's not proven in the Premier League. And I feel he's got more attacking prowess.
I agree on Feghouli, although the stats don't really help out. He had a really, really rough season last year for Valencia.
That's true.
Which was very disappointing. But he does have all the talent in the world. And you got to imagine pairing him with Payet will be absolutely terrifying. And even though Michael Antonio has been exposed a little bit this preseason thus far, like Rob and I were huge on Antonio as a right back for fantasy purposes. But seeing how he's played recently, Rob, you know, as a baseball fan, he might be one of those rare guys where the defense actually hurts his value because he might not be on the pitch enough.
Yeah, he's like the Pedro Alvarez of...
Dude, I love El Toro so much. Don't you come up in my business. Freaking taco power, hashtag Pedro. Anyway, that was not racist, by the way. There's a long story that I will talk about at some point. No, you know what? No, that's the point of this podcast. So Pedro Alvarez's wife, Kelly Alvarez, his pregame meal every time is tacos before home games. And there was one home game where, it was a doubleheader. And so she made double the tacos. And so he ate extra tacos that day, and he hit 3 home runs over the 2 games on the same day. And so it became like a feed Pedro more tacos thing. Anyway, that's my explanation. He just eats a lot of tacos. There's no race thing behind it. It's just what happened.
Right.
Man, I think I might have just dug my hole deeper there. But I love Pedro Alvarez, even though he abandoned us for the Orioles and is just a mediocre Mark Trumbo. Moving along.
All right. Getting back to
Fuguli.
You guys both picked Fuguli. Yeah. I would go with Ibe. That's just me. Mm-hmm. All right. So 6.5. So this one gets a little bit tougher, because it involves a name that we've brought up a couple times and we've actually talked very positively about one of these guys. Jared Delafeu or Andres Townsend?
That's tough. I'm going to say I've got both in my fantasy team right now, and I'm going to say Jared Delafeu because I think less people will own him and he'll be a differential at the start.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good radio, but I completely agree. I'm worried about the playing time at Crystal Palace. They have like four guys that could play those roles. I think Jared Delafeu has a much clearer path to first team football, and he has the better talent surrounding him.
Yeah, I agree. I think Delafeu is going to have a lower ownership than Townsend. I think people are going to buy into the Townsend hype wagon early, and Delafeu will probably outscore him. 7.5, Willian or Ross Barkley?
Oh, they're like the two worst names I could think of at that price. I want to say neither. Barkley's been a disappointment for me in FPL. To be fair, you know, Willian, he actually had a good season in 15-16. So I would say tentatively him. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Barkley this season, but I don't like either of them, to be honest with you.
Oh, yay, we can disagree. Willian, I think, did have a very good season last season, especially when he started taking set pieces, because he made some pretty audacious free kicks. But Ross Barkley, I think, will massively benefit from the addition of Idrissa Gueye / Ghana, whatever he wants to be called these days, who was incredible last season, second in basically all defensive metrics among midfielders to only N'Golo Kanté. And I think Barkley being able to stay in more attacking positions will really benefit him. Will he still be an incredibly frustrating own throughout the season? Yes, but it's only frustrating because he has those great matches or those great moments of brilliance that just make you wonder why he isn't doing it all the time. But I think with some of the... I keep coming back to minutes, but Willian, with the addition of Cuadrado, you still have Pedro around at the moment of recording. You still have Oscar. Fabregas might get moved up into a more advanced position if they end up keeping... I just completely blanked on his name. Matic, and they want to play Matic next to Conte, then you're pushing Fabregas up the pitch. So now you have five or six players in those three behind whoever the striker is. Ross Barkley, guaranteed minutes, won't have to defend as much with Guy there, and at the moment they still have Lukaku.
I agree. I would take Barkley over Willian. It's funny, and Chief, you said that the 7.5, there's a lot of guys in the 7.5 range that are very enticing for fantasy. You got Dusan Tadic, Marko Arnautovic, Sigurdsson, AU from Swansea. Yeah, there's tons of
7.5. He's not at 5.5, I checked.
Yeah, but it's actually a great midfielder start. You could probably get five guys at 7.5 and probably nobody would argue with you that you had five guys at 7.5. All right, moving on to 8.5, and I know Kevin's been waiting for this one. Dele Alli or Christian Eriksen?
That is tough. Because they're now both a similar value because of Ali's good run last season. I would say I'd say Ali that's tough. I'm going to say Ali because he showed what he can do with Kane, whereas with Eriksen, he's the dead ball specialist, and I feel Ali will encroach on his non-dead ball returns.
Yeah, I'm back on Team Eriksen this year. You make some excellent points, but his set pieces were actually a little bit below his career average last year, and a regression to the mean there. By the way, I love the phrase regression to the mean, but can it mean going up? I feel like regression naturally has, right? Like, you think about it coming down to the middle. Does it still work for going up to the middle? Linguists, let us know. Tweet at us and let us know if regression to the mean can be going up to the mean as well as going down. Anyway, Eriksen should have a better season this year than last. And last year, he still had a very good season despite being perhaps a little below his own abilities. I agree with you that Ali takes off some of the shine there. I also think Lamella does the same and will be more of a creative force this season as well. But those set pieces are so good. Although, kind of to my way earlier Lamella point, Lamella did start taking some of the corners late in the season. Eriksen had tired legs, and we'll be dealing with the Champions League, and we've talked about that before, that Eriksen is one of the least athletic, quote-unquote, players in this Tottenham squad. So the first player to get tired often is Eriksen, and you've seen it the last two seasons down the stretch, that Eriksen's the one that kind of falls off first. So I'm going to go Eriksen for the beginning of the season, but I totally understand the Ali side.
Cool. Yeah, I would take Ali. I think Ali plays better with Kane than Eriksen does, and the value at Spurs is still through Kane for fantasy.
Also, Ali will be more fun to own.
Sure.
I have a question, guys, just quickly on the Spurs point. Are you owning any Spurs players from game week one? I'm not personally, but what about you guys?
Oh, I'm super biased. I have Kane and Eriksen. I did have Vimmer in until Jan Vertonghen already returned to training, so it doesn't look like Vimmer's going to get that like 3 weeks that it looked like he'd get to start the season.
Yeah, I have Ali. I have Ali currently.
Fair play. Is it me, or do Spurs always look a bit knackered in the first few weeks of the season, and then they pick up? I mean, Kane is probably the microcosm of that in the last two seasons, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and then the year before that, it was Soldado, where we had 4-1-0 wins out of our first five, and three of them were Soldado penalties, which didn't really help. And then that was before earning penalties counted as assists, so that was not a very exciting start to the fantasy season. So, I agree. In the preseason, Eriksen looked sluggish, which is of concern because he was one of the few Tottenham players not at the Euros. But we haven't really seen enough of the others. Tottenham are in a friendly on Friday, so come back to me later once I've gotten to see some of those first teamers.
All right, Chief, one last one before you go. Anthony Martial or Henrik Mkhitaryan at 9.5?
Oh, that's another toughie. Martial, I feel last season it was his breakthrough season, and obviously it was his debut season in the Premier League. I just feel with the Armenian international, is that I dare not pronounce that name wrong. Mickey, let's call him Mickey.
Mkhitaryan. Okay,
Mkhitaryan, yeah.
Mickey.
The only other...
Mickey. Mike.
Mickey.
Just Mike.
Mike.
Henry Mike.
I feel with him, like, he's proven himself, more so. I mean, with Martial, he barely played for Monaco, and then United signed him for silly sums. You kind of know what you're getting with Mickey, and I feel I actually had him in my first squad selection for the season. My gut says that Martial might get rotated or rested more so than Mickey. I feel Mickey, they're not going to, then again, they spent lots of money on Martial as well. But at this moment in time, I wouldn't own either because I feel Manchester United have too many attacking options. And the only United player I'd get is Ibra. I wouldn't really touch the midfield right now.
Fair enough.
Kev, what about you?
I tend to agree. I mean, Mkhitaryan, off top of my head, I think he had 11 goals and 20 assists last season for Dortmund. And I know we've kind of mentioned Batshuayi not having the best strike rate in France. The German defenses are pretty solid on the whole. So I think that is a little bit more analogous. You've seen what Firmino did last season, although it did take him a while to get into it. So we could see something similar. But I agree with you. On the left... they have Martial, even though he struggled a lot last season. They have Depay. They've played Mata out there before. There isn't really anyone to take that spot on the right with Valencia being played as a right back now. So I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'd probably take neither because I don't trust. I'd rather have Ozil or Payet.
I'd rather have Payet.
but that concludes our game. I know, Chief, you said you had a run in a little bit. So why don't you tell the folks at home where they could find you all across this broad space of interwebs that we currently inhabit.
You can find me on Twitter at FPLHints. You can follow me on my blog, fplhints.blogspot.co.uk. I've also set up my own hosted game and it's like a last man standing, very easy to play free game, and that's footballsurvivor.co.uk/L/Chief. You and your followers are welcome to join. The winner of my league will get a prize, which will be a classic football shirt. It's only 20 game weeks long, so it's really good fun, and I'd recommend you. Sorry?
The first 20?
So it will be the first 20 game weeks. That will be the maximum length. The game might finish before then. So basically, you pick a team. If that team wins, you don't lose lives. If that team loses, you lose two lives. If they draw, you lose one life. So it's basically the last man standing based on the picks. It's a really good alternative game. I mean, the catch is, it's so easy, your nan could play it. I'm not sure what nan translates to in American, but that's what we say.
That sounds really fun. Everybody do that.
Yeah, do what he just said.
Yep.
If you didn't catch it, rewind it and play it again in slow motion.
So, thank you very much. But no, thanks, guys, Chief. Thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me on this show. I wish you all the best for the season. And have a good night.
Yeah, our pleasure. Hope to speak to you soon.
Thanks.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, a big thanks to Chief there. Just to wrap up, Rob and I are going to talk through our teams a little bit, which I definitely already have up, and that's not why I'm stalling at all. Who's stalling? Are you stalling? Stalin was in charge of Russia for a while. Right, my team as it currently stands. I'm pretty sure nobody caught on to that. For week one, De Gea at the back, Simon Francis, Craig Dawson, who I've recently brought in. I think he's also been pretty undervalued. I think I put that in the defenders post for you, if memory serves.
Yeah, you did, yes.
Yeah, gets a pretty easy start to the season with Palace, Middlesbrough, and Bournemouth in three of his first four. Everton in there as well, dealing with a new manager. West Ham's a little scarier, but then Stoke you're fine with. Sunderland you're fine with. So I like the starts in the season. I think he's underrated. I think Pulis will keep it, you know, his usual amount of clean sheets, so I'm not too worried about that. Brought in Fuchs, who, you know, you and I are both big fans of. He's kind of my stud defender at the moment. I might need to change that up at some point, but right now trying to fit two high-priced strikers is an issue. Across the midfield, currently have Eriksen, Fabregas, Mahrez, and Albrighton. I'm not leaping to go by Musa just because of his performance today against Barcelona, but it is making me have questions about Albrighton, so that might change to somebody else a little bit cheaper at that price point. Then up front, I have Aguero, Kane, and Negredo at the moment. Not as high on Negredo. Actually, let's talk about Middlesbrough for a second here, because... Sure. I have concerns with a lot of their players, including when we did our keeper rankings, Victor Valdes, who was not very good when he played in Belgium, obviously couldn't get a game at United, now comes to Middlesbrough. I'm not even sure he gets a game ahead of Guzan. You're much more on the Valdes train. So is John, fantasy gaffer, as you guys will know him. What's kind of your thinking behind liking more of these Middlesbrough guys than me?
I mean, it's not that I love them. I just think that there's good value there, and enough of the hype coming from the championship to the Premier. I mean, any team that leads the league in goals allowed for 2 years in a row and basically is bringing up the same amount of players.
Way. They've allowed the least goals.
Yeah, they allowed the least. You know, and they're basically bringing everybody with them. You know, and then now they're adding a goalie who has, you know, start issues with previous clubs. Oh, all right, he's behind De Gea. Oh, he's behind another all-world goalie. He's got the quality to be able to be on the Uniteds and the Barcelonas and whoever else he's on. So I see him as a value there just because of the hype that is coming up with Burrow. You know, that's why a lot of people are jumping on George Friend in the back, because he's of his price point and what Middlesbrough's done, you know, defensively for the last 2 years. So it's not that I'm all in on them. I just kind of am listening and harboring the hype a little bit. On Negredo, you know, it's funny. I was just reading this before, and it's funny. If you look at the pricing for the fantasy strikers, name one guy that you have to own between 6'5 and the big guys of Ibrahimovic and Kane and Aguero. It's a tough list. There's basically nobody in the between 6'5 and 11 that I would actually think about rostering right now, besides Andre Gray. I'm not counting Andre Gray because I'm putting him in that category because he's, what is he, 7.0?
Or is he 6'5?
He's 6'5. Yeah. So starting with Andre Gray and looking up the ownership rankings, tell me somebody, and it's funny, four of the top nine guys owned right now are 6'5 or less.
That is interesting. Okay, so you're saying forwards in between basically 7 and 11. Defoe, in this format, he's ownable, but I kind of want to see what happens there with Moyes first. You know what? I'm fine with Giroud at 9 and Deeney at 7. I have much less qualms than you do with some of those guys.
Yeah, I'd rather go low or... You know, star or spend high. But yeah, that's my strategy. Stars and scrubs. I mean, it's the way to go.
Yeah.
All right.
What did you got?
I really haven't changed too much. I'm still going with the Swansea Crystal Palace goalkeeper rotation. You know, their schedules line up pretty good for the first six, so I'm fine with that. In the back, I like the lump. You know, I like to have one defender from each team to match a goalie. So I have Lamina Kone matching up with. No, that's not even right. I'm completely wanked out of my head right now. Lamina Kone, Virgil van Dijk, John Stones, Neil Taylor, Johnny Evans in the back. Gives me nice medium return on less owned guys, but all not very, you know, pricey. Van Dijk is my stud. He's been I haven't moved him from a team or a draft that I've actually done since the beginning. Through the midfield, I have Nathan Redmond, Kevin De Bruyne, Dele Alli, Mesut Ozil, and Jordan Ibe or Ibe as you choose. I can't really go wrong with that. I'm going to start three, rotate Redmond and Ibe depending on who's hot. Up top, I just said it. I went stars and scrubs. I have Negredo, Andre Gray, and Sergio Aguero. I mean, Aguero is a staple. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you don't own him, you kind of have to own him. I'm sorry that anybody who wants to argue that, I will bring up statistics and actually do homework to prove you wrong. So that's my team right now. With a week plus to go, it'll probably change three or four more times. But it's getting close to a finished project to what I'm actually happy with. There's not too many more interchangeable parts.
Yeah. I like those. I especially like Lamina Kone. What is he priced at? 5?
4-5.
Ooh. Why have I not known that before? What's his what is their schedule? Doop 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 doop. Good radio is what this is.
It's bad for the first five. They're at City, home to Borough. No. You wouldn't play him, I'm saying, but you wouldn't play him the first game. It's they're away to City, home to Borough, at Southampton, home to Everton, at Spurs, and then it flattens out.
Okay, yeah. Palace, West Brom, Stoke, West Ham, Arsenal, Bournemouth. It's basically two on, two off.
Yeah, it's lump. What it looks like. Yeah, Bournemouth, Hull, Leicester. Yeah, see, it's two on, two off. Exactly.
Yeah. What it did. So yeah, I mean, at 4-5, probably worth it. And this is a Moyes defense. Ooh. I know a lot of people are looking at Sunderland and probably shying away, but. David Moyes is good at what he does, and a lot of that is shoring up defenses and getting the most ability out of sometimes not the most talented players. Okay, well, that's great. Again, huge thanks to Chief for coming on. Go follow him at FPL Hints and go join his thing that he talked about because that sounded super dope. We'll certainly be doing that. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find me on soccer.rasball.com. We've been doing rankings all week with the assistance of my illustrious co-host Kevin DeVries and the one and only fantasy gaffer John Whalen of Playtaga.com. So head on over there to see our preseason ranks and general nonsensory. You can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie, and you know, just hit me up. I'm always up for questions, and I go up on Saturdays for baseball if anybody's still paying attention to their baseball teams.
Ooh, actually, yeah, let's do a thing. Of all the bullpen moves, which there were plenty of, what's your biggest takeaway from the deadline?
My biggest takeaway is that 9 teams on the deadline changed closers.
Also, why couldn't we get anyone? Basically, every other closer that moved got a nicer package than we got for Melanson.
You have a nice stadium. You don't need a good closer.
We do have a really nice stadium. I'm Kevin DeVries at Kevroff. As Rob mentioned, I have been doing ranks with him over on Razzball, so go check those out. I haven't put out a fantasy article since when the game launched. I don't know if that's actually a problem or not. Probably, I mean, nothing's actually happened. So I'll probably start that back up right before week one. Snap, that's next week.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. All right. Well, that was an unpleasant realization right then. Do listen to our EPL Roundtable show. We just started season four. We had Richard Burns from Manchester City and Dave Hendrick representing Liverpool. Talking about all the things, including the title chase and how there's not a clear favorite this season. Also, the championship roundtable. Be sure to listen to that as well. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with plenty more what we hope will be fantasy advice.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.